Welcome back, everybody, to We Are TPM with myself, Kyle Teixeira, sitting next to, once again, John Teixeira. We are back this week to discuss protesting your property taxes. Now, if you have any questions about this, want to get a hold of us for our assistance on doing this, or some of the things we're going to talk about to assist you on doing this, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wertpm.com. If you have trouble through that phone number, as John has complained recently, his direct number is 817-637-4658.
So much better.
If you want my direct number,
get me there.
Call the first number. Boom.
There you go. I love it. It's bright in here, huh, Kyle?
It is. We're just rocking the sunglasses.
We're getting ready for summertime. Summertime's right around the corner. We gotta get ready.
I just wanted to give people an opportunity to look through my glasses and see what we see. You know, look through my eyes.
Oh, 420 is coming up. Maybe that's the reason why we need sunglasses.
Why would we need sunglasses for that day? No, I'm just
I don't know. I won't. I personally will not need them, but
well, some 420, will. Let's. While you're not,
are we losing the sunglasses indulging now?
Yeah, I lost the sunglasses. I got tired of looking at you.
All no, right, I'm just kidding. Fine.
While you're, what could you do on that day? You could protest your property taxes, right?
No, I don't. It's a Saturday, so I don't think you could.
No, I don't think you could either. So,
but you could prepare.
What are we talking about here? Because it was, so we talked about property tax changes in Texas last week, briefly touched on protesting your taxes subject, did say quite a few times how important it is. So it's so important that we're going to talk about it today. So what is protesting or appealing, as some people would say, your property value?
So we should clarify that this is kind of a Texas thing. Now, I'm sure every state has their own processes to do this, and they all tax their properties differently. Some of them may be very similar to the way we're talking about here in Texas, but we don't know those processes. We know to what Texas does. And so in Texas, every single year, our property taxes are based on a certain value. And so every single year at this time of year, right now in late winter, early spring, we start getting notices from the local taxing authorities about what our new assessed value is, which is what they calculate your tax rate off of.
Yeah, and it's usually around your federal tax day. So, you know, federal taxes are due April 15th. That's about, if you want to plan this in a timeline, right? That's about
all when the pain you get, hurt at the same time.
When you get the notice of your value. So you have to protest or at least submit. In Tarrant County and most of the counties around DFW, you have to submit your protest, at least initially, by May 15th. This year it's May 17th, middle of May. So just think timeline-wise, planning-wise, because this is important, not just for investors, for anyone who owns any property in Texas, homeowners living in your home, all of them. Just think after tax day, you know, that fun old day that maybe you have to pay taxes, and when the thought goes through your head, I hate paying taxes, maybe you can think of to protest your property taxes to save a little bit there, because that's the next step, right?
So it's a little bit, I'm gonna say something, then we'll get into how to do it and why to do it, okay? Mm-hmm. But this is like everything else. This is like, we talk a lot about managing your own property versus hiring a property manager. Should I defend myself in a courtroom or hire a lawyer? Should I do my own brain surgery or hire a brain surgeon? I mean, you know who's going to do this best? Yeah, that was a little extreme, I know, but nobody's thinking about doing their own brain surgery. I get it. But you know who's
about doing their own brain surgery. That's a conundrum right there.
Yeah, that is. That's pretty good. So, but who best to do this is somebody who does it regularly, that has systems and processes in place to do it well. And we have a company that we use to do that. So while we talk about how and why you should do it, I also want you to consider that you don't have to do it yourself. And if this sounds overwhelming, what we're about to talk about, there's tons of good qualified companies out there that can do this for you.
Correct. This is correct. And we will talk about that. But what they do is they appeal your property value, right, to protest your property taxes. Just using a bunch of words here. So basically, we talked about property tax changes in Texas last week. I'm going to talk about how that correlates to this as well. But basically, we discussed how every year, based on some algorithm or some generalized formula, your tax appraisal district will determine the value, the taxable value of your property, right? And it's based on market. It's based on market value, and it doesn't always apply to your property, right?
That's right.
So, and why is this important? This is important because taxes, property taxes, are percentage-based. They are a percent of your taxable value. So if you want your percentage-based taxes to go down, lower the amount that they're being, that the percent is based on, which is the value, right?
Or at least keep the appraisal district in check and hold them accountable by protesting them at least every once in a while, right? Like, so we're going to talk a little bit about how to do it, but, and do you need to do it? I would say you don't have to do it every single year. We do ours every single year, right? We really hold ours accountable, but you don't have to. That seems a little like a daunting thing.
I completely disagree with you.
About what?
Doing it every year, and I'm going to explain why. I'm just kidding. Shut you down.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is this. The problems I see with the appraisal district using the method we talked about last week where they do mass appraisals is where, and most people fall into this category where people have gone, I don't know, as long as they've owned the home without ever protesting the mm-hmm. property. And if they've owned it for 15, 20 years, and it had an accurate appraisal 15, 20 years ago, and now it's dilapidated or it's not like the surrounding neighborhoods and it's older, and now they're appraising it off of some surrounding neighborhoods also, and now your appraised value is just going up and up and up, and nobody's ever held them accountable. Because don't forget, they're not going to your house to look at your house. They're not considering your individual house. They're considering an entire area, neighborhood, zip code, certain area that they define somehow is what they're appraising all at one time.
Yeah, and maybe it wasn't fair to just blatantly disagree with you, but the reason I was disagreeing is it would go to common sense to think, okay, I get it right this year. I get them, you know, down to an accurate appraised value, right? And then if my neighborhood or the market around me goes up 12% next year, then they increase mine 12%, then okay, that makes sense, right? But that's clearly not how they do it. They ignore what you got it back down to next year when they consider the next year. And I know that because I see it on our tax appraisals every year. So like this one property, for example, that we own, I even brought the paper and I can't get it out of my pocket, but it's valued at 345 as of last year. For 2023, the value is 345. That's because we brought it down to 345. They had it at 380 something, 385, if I remember right. We got it down to 345. This year, appraised value came in at 405. Right, they didn't consider an increase or a percentage based increase to bring that 345 to 405. They're still using their old number if they're doing it that way. But whatever formula they're using is ignoring the accurate the.
That's a good observation. That could be what's happening. We don't know for sure that that's what's happening, right? There's nothing on there that shows what they based it off of, right? Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part about a rental property. If you're an investor and we're talking about your investment properties, there's no cap to what they can raise these on investment properties. They have a cap as to what they can raise your homestead, but not your rental property. So.
Well, and we discussed that cap last week with the property changes, and that's another reason why it's so important is, you know, if we're being – so, for example, if we're being maxed out as of now at – I almost forget after last week what the change was, but it was 3% or 10% over 4 years or whatever it is, right? Their cap is – it can't go up.
It used to be 10% per year. Is what it used to be. I know it's changed, and
we only discussed it a week ago. But I guess we slept a few times since that simple point. But even you know, over 3 years, right? It's over 3 years. Well, getting it accurate now is so important because if you get it accurate now it can only increase. For example, over 3 years, 5% or 5% year over year. based on that now accurate value, which 3% of 345 is a lot less than if I wasn't going to do it and I took their 405, 3% increase on that going forward allows them to increase it a lot more. That cap is less effective the higher the value is on a monetary basis, on like, you know, 5 grand versus 6 grand, you know. So very important. And I, you say that's an observation. I don't have, and they're not telling us the calculation formula they use for this stuff, but this observation has been true through some of the biggest tax increases we've ever seen over the last couple of years. I've paid attention to it, and it's like, okay, well, they tried to take this up to 350, got it down to 305. Then next year, they try to take it to 370, got it down to 330. You know, then the next year, they try to take it to 380, get it down to 345. Now I'm looking at 408, 642, and the taxable value of last year at 345, right? So I'm going to protest this and probably try to get it down to 360 or, you know, whatever. We're going to keep playing this game.
So let's talk about that process, because I bet you almost everybody in Texas, if it was easy enough or they knew how easy it was, would like to protest their taxes, right? Taxes. I don't know anybody who doesn't complain about their property taxes, especially this time of year. We get it all the time, don't we? Because everyone's getting these notices.
It's mostly investors. So I'll bring this up real quick, that a lot of homeowners or people who have escrows, right? You pay your mortgage payment in an escrow that pays your taxes and insurance. They think it doesn't matter. They're like, well, my taxes are escrowed, so it doesn't matter. And I'm like, it does matter. Well, if you bring your value down and save money on taxes, they're like, well, it's just going to save the escrow company tax. Like, no, that's not how it works. It will save you money. It won't save you money that month. It'll save you money when the mortgage company goes and evaluates it next year. And then when you do this every year, and every year they're seeing that your tax bill is lower than they're expected, because it's lower than what's happening to all the people that aren't protesting it, then they start charging you less in the escrow, and then your monthly payment goes down. So it's directly how it works.
By the way, let's talk about that, because every mortgage company has a little bit different process now. So historically, if your taxes go down and you're waiting for your escrow account to be reevaluated, by the way, I was feeling kind of warm and sunny in here, so I needed the glasses again. No? Just me? All right, fine. So if your taxes are going down and you're waiting for your escrow account to be reevaluated, historically, all mortgage companies used to do it the same way. They do it every March, period, right? Well, in Texas, that doesn't always work, because in Texas, we don't even get these things until sometimes March or April. So I have found that, two things that mortgage companies are doing. One, they're changing when they'll do it. Two, they'll do it anytime you ask them to, right?
Yeah.
And now the mortgage company that we use, Gateway Mortgage, with Trevor Kurz is our preferred lender, they do it almost immediately when they get a new bill from the insurance or taxes, they do it. And they'll do it any month that we ask them to. So,
well, and I've seen it change a lot in recent years because of the extreme market changes. Like Gateway used to do it on your anniversary date. So it used to be, you know, you got this loan in August 5 years ago or that's whatever, they do it in August. Or you got it in June, they do it in June.
That makes more sense, doesn't it, than doing it every
March? Well, it does until you start having massive increases, like 25, 50% increases in your tax bill. And now it matters to them how much they're floating the rest of the year. So they recently, well, like
they don't
21.
Float anything.
Well, yeah, yeah, well.
They don't float anything.
Well, they were floating it until your anniversary date, and then they were floating the shortage, I should say.
They didn't have enough money in the escrow account to pay the future bill, but they weren't floating anything.
Well, they switched it, so now they do everyone on January 1, or, you know, that's when in January is when they do it, and that's because it's right after they pay the last year's tax bill.
So. Okay. That's even a newer policy for them. But my point is, I'm seeing mortgage companies. It went from a very stringent tradition of how it was done. I have no idea if it was a legal requirement or what, but every mortgage company across the board did it in March every single year. That was the tradition and the norm. And now I'm noticing that mortgage companies, all mortgage companies, are doing things different. They're a little bit more flexible about how and when they do it, and even how often they do it.
Yeah, and some are doing it more often for their own purposes. Like we had one mortgage that I've never seen this, but they did it on the anniversary date in October last year, 23, and then told us they were going to start doing it in January also. So mortgage went up a little bit. And then January, they redid it. And then they got the tax bill in March and just sent us another notice saying it's going up again. So it was the first time I've ever seen the payment of escrow go up three times in like 6 months. So, but it was a massive change. So sometimes they got to do what they got to do. So
I want to remind people something. Little side note. When your taxes go up, that means you just got wealthier on paper.
Your net worth increased.
Your net worth increased far more than that tax value. Yep. you may be going up $30 a month, but you just gained $50,000 in value in a home that you'll realize someday when you sell it.
It's true. It's true. Don't forget that. There's all these conversations about how
caught up in cash flow.
How taxing unrealized gains is insane, right? I've mentioned that before. This is kind of doing that.
Yeah. So how do we appeal it? So now we got people excited, Kyle, to go appeal their taxes. How do they do it?
There's a few ways, but let's start with the generalization here. You are going to do the same thing. You know, you can even call your realtor. A lot of people do that. They call their realtor. They say, hey, can you give me the value of my house with comparables and send me those comparables in my neighborhood? Just simple question. Most realtors will do that for you regardless because they think you might want to sell it or whatever. But you get that. You give that to the appraisal district. If it supports a lower value, then and justified evidence, then they should lower the value. They have a hearing. That's the simple way. So let's keep this general for a second. By like on this one, by May 15th, I have to basically submit a protest, and that protest is just me saying I want to protest my taxes. I don't need to do anything yet. I'm protesting this value, and then they set a hearing. So there's two steps to this. You say I'm protesting it, and then they set a hearing. And when you go into that hearing, you bring that justification, and they're like either they give you an okay or they give you a different value.
So let's break this down a little bit so it doesn't feel so intimidating to people. So first, step one is make sure you have a case, okay? So what makes a case for getting your taxes lowered by the appraisal review board? One, their comps are off, right? If you can pull comps that show that homes just like yours in your neighborhood are selling for a lot less than it's appraised for, that's the biggest thing, right? Two is also condition. If you take pictures of your home and you could show that it's dilapidated and needs repair and it's in much worse condition or much less updated than the surrounding homes that they're using, that is another thing that you can use with the appraisal review board. So yep. Do those two things, especially if you have invoices from contractors. You bring those things. But what is the review board? It's a group of professionals usually that are installed by the county, right? They're selected.
Appointed.
That's the word. And thank you, Kyle. My vocab had gone away.
Your vocab?
My vocab.
Oh, yeah.
That's short for vocabulary. There's five people appointed. I think there might be two elected and three appointed or something like that. I don't know. You can look it up. But there are real estate professors, at least two real estate professionals on there. There's usually
there's
a lawyer or a judge on there. And then there's an advocate for the appraisal review board in there. So it's usually somebody
there's third party appraisers too. Yeah. So like a requirement for
they do a good job. This is all legally bound that their boards have to be made up this way. And it's a pretty good job of making a fair group of people that are both looking after the public and the appraisal review board to make sure that we're getting it right and we're getting it fair. So that's the first thing is you're not going in front of intimidating judges. These are just five normal people. This is what they do. I believe they're serving at with no pay, I believe. I don't quote me on that, but I believe this is like a lot of other committee positions that you serve your community in that you don't get paid for. But Anyway, so they sit and listen to your case. So they invite you in, you make a case. Here's my CMA that my realtor provided to me. And as you can see, the surrounding homes, just like mine, are, you know, selling for $50,000 less than my appraisal value. And just make your case. Show them pictures, contractor invoices, whatever you need to show them. But the point is, this appraisal review board, to some people, feels like it might be an intimidating process, like a courtroom. And while it is probably a setting somewhat like that, you probably go into a room with a large desk, and maybe it's a little bit intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't look at it that way. It's just normal people listening to your case, and then they're going to make a decision, and their decision is finalized. So it doesn't really matter how intimidating it is. You got to make a case for your tax dollars.
Well, and in my experience, single or homeowners, like when they're protesting their own personal property, are given a lot more leeway. They're given a lot more benefit of the doubt, right? If you bring justification and get close, they're like, yeah, we'll do that. It's the investors that have 50 properties and stuff that they're like, no, we're not going to let you bring all these that down that much, or you know, it needs to be fully justified. But in my experience, especially in Tarrant County, if you're a homeowner protesting your personal property yourself, they give you a lot of grace, I should say.
It's hard not to when you get Billy Bob going in there going, oh my God, my uncle's place down the road, quarter mile away, he just got $240,000 for his place and I got my roof all.
Well, and here's the other thing. This is another thing they take. It's not just comps, all those things we talked about. You could have recently bought this property, right? So that's another thing that is common is bringing in the HUD, bringing in, you know, you don't need to, the best justification you can bring for market value
is purchase price. If you just bought it that year, absolutely. Yeah,
if they tell me that this property is worth 408 and I bought it 2 weeks ago for 375, you don't need much more justification than this property is worth 375. I say so because I said so with my money.
Especially using that example that I laid out before of a home that was never appealed for several years.
Yes.
And then you bought it, right? Maybe you bought it as a wholesale property or a rehab or something. It doesn't matter. But you can show that settlement statement that shows, hey, this thing's appraised for $340,000 and I just bought it for $180,000 in, you know, January. There's, like you said, there's absolutely nothing more you need to do. They're just going to be like, okay, well, they'll get it as close to 180 as they can. They might fight you a little bit on getting it all the way down to 180, but they'll get it there. They might start asking questions about your, whether you're renovating it and stuff. And so, but anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need repairs. So, you know, those things, those things matter, you know, if it's right next to, and other sales too, if your neighbor sold the exact same house as yours and you can show that they sold it for 400, they're telling you that your value is 400 and you show pictures compared to theirs that, like, you know, my house is trashed. They have a pool, they got granite, they got all this stuff and I don't, basically. It's justification. Bring some justification. You walk in there and, you know, I've had one homeowner that said, he said in one county, he just called him on the phone and said, what do you think it's worth? And he's like, well, I think it's worth this. And I'm like, okay. So it could be that easy. Probably not.
Speaking of pools and additions and nice patio covers.
Probably don't tell them about that.
If you've done those things and they're not on there, they're not on the tax records, you better be careful what you present. Because you may get a higher one, not a lower one. So if you put a pool in and they don't know it yet and you go on your tax records, it says on there, pool, yes. Okay, then you're already being taxed for it. That's fine. Then go ahead and do your thing. But if it doesn't say pool, yes, then you probably ought to not bring in any aerials with your pool or any pictures that show your pool, or just don't bring any evidence that there's a pool and yeah. Otherwise,
if they're wrong in a beneficial way to you, maybe let them be wrong, you know, but that's up to you.
So, to be honest, in preparation for your hearing, they may take some aerials. They may take some aerials already. I mean, you may be opening up a can of worms just doing an appeal if you have a large addition, you know, something like an addition that adds 300 square feet to your home, right? But it says 1472, but you really have 18, you know, 100 square feet. Well, you know, you don't want to bring in an appraisal that has the square footage all measured out, right?
Well, that's, people who add pools, that's been a question before because they're like, whoa, my tax bill and value skyrocketed. And it's because the appraisal district, pool is one of those things they do fine, you know, because they just look on aerial photos.
It's easy nowadays with Google.
Google helps that.
You don't even have to go to your house.
It's kind of hard to hide a pool, you know, from the sky. So, and then if you do hide it, you know, you don't really get a lot of sun in your pool. So there's trade-offs. So I think when I spent $100,000 on a pool,
I want the sun.
I want the sun. Yeah. So.
That's funny.
But you know, and they even tell you, I think it's hilarious that they put this on here. This had to have been a legislative thing because
I thought that was interesting.
On this appraisal thing, it says percentage market value change from 2019 is 47%.
I've gotten 47% richer on that house.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and my taxes
have gone
up by 47%, right? So that is how you should look at it, right?
And don't forget, if you buy a new house, y'all, we've talked about this, I believe, but if you bought a new house, it takes 1 to 2 years for them to realize that they have an improvement on that lot. So hopefully your mortgage company was a good mortgage company and they set you up with an escrow that collected the taxes for an improved lot, meaning that there's an approved lot with a house on it. And it's close to the tax rate that you're actually going to end up paying because so many people are blindsided by on a new house buying a home and it's taxed as an unimproved lot. So it's taxed for like $683 a year. And they're like, yoo-hoo, let's go. And then 2 years later, the appraisal district figures out there's a 4,000 square foot house on it. And now your tax bill is $8,000, right? Like, oh crap.
Yeah.
That's a big jump. But you need to know, this is one of the reasons why you need a good real estate professional helping you do these things, even with a new house. You need to know going in that is going to happen. That's the process and that's the way it works. You need to plan for it, prepare for it, and not be surprised by it.
Yeah. And definitely do it on your personal home. So that's extremely important. Yep. And also know who you're being taxed by, because I've seen this too. So there are houses that are taxed by multiple counties. Mm-hmm. So for example, there's houses in our area that are in Dallas County and Tarrant County.
Manage.
Yeah,
that's on in I both counties.
That is in both counties. It's not that it's in both counties. It's the school districts usually that drag you in. So say it's over the county line. So it's in Dallas County, but it's in.
No, we have one that where the breakfast nook is literally in Tarrant County, yeah. And the rest of the house is in Dallas County. It can be on the county line, absolutely.
And that's only different if they actually separated the parcel. So, and on that one, they did. But most of the time, you're not have two parcels in two different counties in your property. But like there is like the example I'm thinking of is I said Dallas and our Tarrant, but it's really the most common one we see here is. Properties that are in Johnson County, but in Mansfield ISD.
Mm-hmm.
And Mansfield ISD has pretty decently high taxes. So that bill comes from Tarrant County. Doesn't have any Tarrant County taxes on it, but it has your taxes for Mansfield ISD. You technically have to protest your value with both counties.
Do you?
I think you can just protest it with Johnson. Yes, and I've been told no by our protest.
I think you just protest Johnson, and then the Mansfield ISD is calculated off of that, and everything
That's
should
how you
be
would
adjusted.
Hope, but no, you should know.
You have 4 to 5 taxes on there. You have a city tax, a county tax, you have a ISD tax, and most of the time you have for the local community college you have a tax. If there's a MUD district, a municipal utility district, or something like that, then you might have a fifth tax. But for the most part, that's what you got, and all of those taxes are a percentage, a certain calculation that's calculated off of your appraised value, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and we said it from one hand. Let's do the other hand. Make sure your information's right for the reasons that benefit you also. Because I've seen houses that are being taxed with too much square footage. You know, they could have at one point converted a garage to a room. And then, you know, they knew about it, whatever, and then someone converted it back. You know, things can happen a lot over the years. So make sure that especially your square footage is right to your advantage. Like if it says if you're being taxed based on 1,800 square feet and it's really 1,400 square feet, that will make a difference.
You know, that's a good point. When you buy a new house and you build a new house, you know how they figure that out? They take the exterior measurements of your home. So a guy from the appraisal district will come out and be like, oh crap, there's a house now at 123 Main Street that didn't used to be there. And they'll go over there and they'll take measurements of the exterior walls and then they'll make a reasonable expectation of how big the garage is and subtract that out. And that's where they come up with it. So given how they do it, it's often wrong.
Yeah. Well, and based on like for new developments and stuff, they take what the builder gives them. You know, a lot of times they take the build plans from the builder and, you know, builders are never wrong. So just
yeah,
kidding.
You know, they're you make wrong. Yeah. You make, when you make changes, like they send you a plan and then you make a late change or something and add square footage or reduce square footage, you know, anything you do can reduce or add square footage and absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, these days they have technology that's looking at these aerials and seeing, is there any significant change on this lot? Okay, that looks like there's been an addition to the back
probably,
of the home.
They probably shoot it from a satellite and tell you that that thing's 3,851 square feet and probably get it spot on now. Ridiculous.
Yeah, based on your roof square footage.
Yeah.
So if you have an overhanging patio, maybe double check. So, but yeah, I mean, these are all things you can check. You know, people don't go measure your square footage from the inside of your house. Do it from the outside. That's how it's done. Another question I've gotten recently.
Y'all, appealing is pretty easy. It's not intimidating. All you got to do is file this thing by May 15th. They'll give you a hearing date. All you got to do is prepare. You know, first step is make sure you have a case. If you don't have a case, don't waste your time doing this. If your realtor sends you a CMA and it seems like they got it right and you don't have any condition issues, then maybe don't waste your time. Wait and do it when you do have a case. Or do what we do, pay somebody to do it that doesn't even charge you if they don't have any success.
Yeah.
So the company we use charges you a percentage of what they save you. So if they save you nothing, they charge you nothing. If they save you $100, they charge you a percentage of that $100. They save you $10,000. You know what I mean? So it's all proportionate to how much they save you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like trying to save money on taxes. It's either you send it to the tax authority or you give a portion of it to someone to just do the service that saves you that money.
Mm-hmm.
I always know what I decide on that trade-off.
And they're better at it. They know how to do this process. You know, they know how to play in that courtroom. I'm calling it a courtroom, just analogically. Oh, I screwed that all up. But
well,
you know what I mean.
There's nothing wrong with doing it. It's justified. It's not like they're trying to reduce it in bad faith. No, they're trying to get it right. They're not trying to get it lower than right. They're trying to get it right because the appraisal district oftentimes gets it wrong. And another thing, you know, is knowledge is power. Check your exemptions. The people who don't have like a homestead exemption that should, because everyone thinks that you buy a home, not everyone, but a lot of people think that you buy a home and you get a homestead exemption. That statement's true. You only get it if you file it though. You know, you have to send one time after you buy the house, you have to send a homestead exemption form, at least in Tarrant County, you have to send a form.
And no longer do you have to wait to January 1st.
No, you can send it at any point.
So as soon as you buy it, file for your homestead.
Because if you don't do that, then the year, say you buy it mid-year, you're going to be taxed without a homestead exemption during that year if you wait till January 1 of the next year.
Well,
as we talked about last
week,
the homestead exemption makes a huge difference. So, you know, if you have a $3 million home, maybe not that much of a difference, but... But if you have
a $3 million home, these things are not your concerns. You have other concerns.
Yeah. And it's probably not your homestead. Yeah. So, but yeah, do it. There's no reason not to do it or pay someone to do it.
You know what? I just learned something reading the back of this glass. It says when you absolutely have to sound your very best. So I guess what Steve means is that the rum that he put in here is what makes you sound your very best.
That's probably true. Yeah. Don't party foul on me. So, all right. Well, if you guys need any help,
mine just has water
with a referral, you want us to refer you the a company to do your protests, you want our help with comparisons or anything like that, or anything we talked about today, give us a call, 817-818-9039, or shoot us an email as always at showmethemoney@wertpm.com, and we are out.
Later, hater.